A reading from Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes who were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who had followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Ten years ago, I was just starting ministry with my first congregation, a small blue-collar church in an overlooked suburb southeast of St. Paul. The church had mostly older and whiter and straight members and struggled to make its annual budget. Yet they had made the bold decision to become open and affirming to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people during the interim process between settled pastors before I came, and had invited me there fresh out of seminary. In meeting with a pastor colleague to prepare for my ordination, she suggested that my ministry might be planting a new church in the middle of that old congregation, rather like a fallen nurse tree gives its energy and nutrients to new trees that grow up from where its trunk has fallen. I will say we changed and grew a lot over the 6.5 years that I was with that church, but I don't know that I would say her sense of a new church distinct from the old one was realized in the same way. It wasn't so much only new church and only old church. Rather, the longtime folks and I adjusted and adapted in ways that welcomed more new people and changed along with new ministry possibilities. Their traditions were not replaced, but rather transformed through the faithful process of continually adapting to better include those who needed a welcoming community. At the installation of their next pastor, their current pastor, I attended her installation 2 years ago, and I marveled at their dynamic visuals, bright cloth in the ceiling of the sanctuary, more flexible worship space up front, vital music for all those who gathered, and the new members of the church in that time that are now largely LGBTQ and African American. The old church has become a new one, but not eclipsing, rather growing from the gifts of flexibility in its longtime members. These dynamics of new and old are at play in Jesus' day, and he describes them with the metaphors we've heard of patches and wine and wineskins. New patches on old clothing may create a misfit that tears away and does more harm than good, Jesus says. Likewise, new wine needs to be kept in skins that are also new. One commentary explains that new wine still has fermenting to do, and this causes an expansion in volume within the wineskin. New skins have an ability to stretch to accommodate this, but old skins are done with stretching. That's why the new wine will burst the old skins, leading to a loss of the new wine and destruction of the old skin. Jesus uses this image to describe the tension and the challenges that arise as he expands the boundaries of who is included, who's judged worthy and righteous and forgiven and part of the community of God's beloved. We hear the critique of Jesus in today's text from the scribes. He's eating with unsavory characters and not following the fasting practices of the religious authorities. The rules about who's in and who's out, according to Jesus, are being scrambled, along with what's required for righteousness and forgiveness. Tax collectors who handle impure money that has on it the image of Rome, who act on behalf of Roman conquerors, tax collectors might still be worthy of table fellowship, Jesus says. And people can be miraculously forgiven and healed by a sudden intervening grace rather than by a certain set of sacrifices at the temple. This kind of disruption that comes from Jesus isn't easy for the Pharisees, who segregate people from the company of the faithful for the sake of purity. You're in, you're out. But Jesus is building a broader community that integrates former outsiders like tax collectors, sinners, and those who are too sick to be part of the fellowship. The fizzy wine of new energy and expanded community would break open the religion of the Pharisees. Old skins for old wine, then, and new skins for new wine, Jesus would say. I'm hoping for a third option, though, because I hope old wineskins can become new again. I hope there's some hope for old wineskins. Or at least, if not becoming new again, at least staying supple enough to carry the buoyant energy of new wine. I say that because we're a community of old skins. Fix that before I go on. We're not all old skins, but we are a community of old skins, by which I mean Christendom, the church, the Christian church, as we are now in the early 21st century, is old wineskins. Protestant churches used to be called mainline denominations, but are now starting to be called old wine, or in the image of Jesus, old wine. In other words, we know the tension as a church now of being out of sync with the culture more broadly, of having the new ways of the world beyond our doors not fit well with the old ways of how the church is accustomed to working. Other activities and work are now scheduled on Sunday mornings. Families are more often rushed, too rushed to participate in our traditional Christian education activities. Volunteer labor is harder to come by for church activities, and communication needs multiply with every new website or social media or Facebook page. Here in this sanctuary, we are navigating the physical changes that are being required for the sake of being church in the 21st century. One of my mentors pointed out to me years ago that when congregations first create a building and a sanctuary, they get to shape the space to best serve the congregation's ministries. We're going to have pews that are all going to face in this direction. The altar will be here, and this is what worship will feel like, and this will serve the ministries of the church. But over time, the building begins to exert more and more subtle influence until it's telling the congregation what's possible and what's not. We can't do it that way. We can't do it that way. We must do it this way. And so every once in a while, congregations need to reassert the form and the use of our buildings and our space in order to remain faithful to the purpose and the changing ministries of God's people. The wineskin must be changed in order to serve and hold the new wine of God's Spirit. This isn't, though, just change for change's sake or to follow the latest fad. There's old wine that needs old wineskins in order to be fully realized. But just as culture changes over generations, and as Judaism in Jesus' day had continuously adapted over the generations to new circumstances in each new century, Christ calls us now to continually renew the church, honoring the older forms of community that have served us well, while also making space for what's emerging, the fizzy new wine. One interpreter puts the questions of change to the church in this way. What are the customs and the traditions that have stretched all they can, but are found in some way wanting as we reach beyond boundaries to share the gospel? What are we prepared to put aside for the sake of becoming new wineskins for the gospel's fermenting truth? For Jesus and the friends we encounter in Scripture today, the crucial point, the reason for it all, is healing by whatever means necessary. We see a paralyzed man who's left out as crowds gather around the righteous teacher. Jesus could heal this man if only he weren't hidden and excluded by the crowds. The friends of this man, seeing the obstruction of the people gathered around, take other liberating action. They carry him up on the flat roof of the building and dig through it to get to Jesus by the easiest way they could in that way, working through the barrier in an unconventional manner so that neither the building nor the crowd around Jesus can hinder the man's coming into his presence, can hinder the man's healing. Note that Jesus doesn't chastise the friends for their trespass of property. I have to wonder about homeowners insurance. And Jesus doesn't fret about how the sticks and the dust and the roof particles will be picked up and replaced afterwards. Those would have been on the minds of many who are there. But what's most important for Jesus is the faith of these friends and the man's healing. Roofs can be opened, crowds can be parted, and healing can come in new ways by the power of this Christ, who forgives sins, strengthens the weak, and creates anew. I hope we don't have to follow this story literally. I hope we don't have to create a hole in the roof here so that people can be lowered in on stretchers by cranes to be healed in the presence of the community of Christ. But this is our charge, to build the kind of community that cares enough to change, offering the healing of courageous and joyful Christian faith to each person in new ways as needed, for the sake of those who are excluded or left out. This is how old wineskins, all that we have inherited from the church of the previous centuries, how we change to hold and serve the new wine of Christ's mission in the 21st century. This is why we do the hard work of adapting our community, our building, our practices, so that young children can attend a local preschool downstairs that teaches values that will serve them for a lifetime. So that LGBT people are not excluded, but are welcomed into church. So that youth leadership is formed in the crucible of theatrical productions throughout the year. So that uncommon community can gather after dark with stories and with music. So that white privilege cannot stand in the way of God's beloved community. So that worship prioritizes the people of God within the sanctuary building. And so that the gospel of God's healing love is expressed in multiple voices and plural visual ways, new ways that are easier to understand for new communities. The process of this kind of change is as disruptive as demolition and construction or a hole in the house. But it is the path that leads us to abundant life because it brings us closer to Christ. We accept the tension and challenge of change as part of being made new in order to serve anew. May we prove wise in honoring the old wine and also willing enough to change, that we can hold the new wine of God's Spirit as she leads us in the life of the world today. Amen. Thank you.